Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We have a campus in Cabot, Benton, West Little Rock, Fellowship Espanol, and the recently launched Fellowship Midtown. As always, I'm your host of Fellowship Talks, Dan Schaefer, and I'm here with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everybody.
Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Great. You say great every time. I need a little bit more than that.
Well, let's see. I'm doing super great.
Super great. All right. There you go. All right. Well, Amy, we wanted to talk a little bit today about our teaching here at Fellowship, our preaching. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, well, in the past, we did simulcast on the campuses off of West Little Rock campus. And many in our church may not realize that we've made a switch away from simulcast.
Yeah, so now we have our pastors are teaching on the campuses on a rotation.
Yeah, live almost every week on one of the campuses. Mm-hmm. So our teaching pastors are going not just to West Little Rock, but to Benton and Cabot and Midtown and teaching mm-hmm. on a regular basis.
Along with some of the campus pastors and other pastors that also teach.
That's right. Yeah, and it's just been a way for us as one church to feel more one together. So our teaching pastors have a chance to interact and meet and talk with all the campuses. Mm-hmm. So that's been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But we thought today for our podcast that we would help our church get to know one of our teaching pastors a little bit more than what we see on stage. So we wanted to invite Mark Henry into Fellowship Talks to spend some time with him, getting to know him a little bit better. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Man, it's great to be here with you and just the team, and excited. I've had a chance to listen to some of the podcast, and as I told you guys earlier, this is my premiere.
This is your premiere,
podcast.
It's been too long. We needed to have you on here.
It's a real honor to be here, so appreciate you guys.
We gave you a Fellowship Talks t-shirt, so we're expecting to see it on you the next time you preach.
Can't wait to try it on. Hopefully it's going to fit, and you know, but thanks for that kind gift.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we wanted to get to know you a little bit more than what we see on the stage. When you preach on a regular basis, you share some about your family, but you don't have the opportunity to get as personal all the time as what you would in a one-on-one conversation. So we just wanted to spend some time getting to know you a little bit better. Can you tell us a little bit about your family?
Yeah, I mean, our family is unique in that our family is constantly in the limelight. God has, for whatever reason, seen fit to use athletics to put us in some places and some arenas that very few people get to go. And I've been able to breathe in some rare air with some coaches and universities and different things. So, our family dynamics really changed in the last 5 years, maybe 6 years. We never dreamed of it some 20 years ago when we started, 20 plus years ago now, started having kids and all that. You don't really think about those things. And God's really blessed us through the sport of football. Mm. And so, just to give you a little bit of information, I mean, most people know I have four kids. Let me clarify that.
Jenny is a part of this.
I want to be real clear. That'll get me in trouble, particularly we're in the Song of Solomon, and I'm already got a lot of things to work on. But let me start with Jenny. We've been married 28 years. We dated 4 years before we got married.
Okay.
I think a unique thing about us, we were actually high school sweethearts. And so we started dating in high school.
Did you grow up in Central Arkansas?
Yeah, I grew up here. I went to Little Rock Central. I went to Terry Elementary. And I went to Franklin. I'm probably the only Franklin grad here on our staff, maybe at the church. I went to Henderson Junior High there on Barrow Road. And then I went to Central. So I'm a Central grad. I had a tremendous experience. loved growing up here and being a part of that. And that was, you know, a great experience for me just being here. So I did grow up here. My parents are still here. Most of my family lives in Greater Little Rock. It was probably one of the things that kind of drew us back almost 10 years ago to come back here with some mm-hmm. of the family and mm-hmm. being here in town. So that's been good. So Jenny and I met in high school. She actually went to Hall High School, and I went to Central. And we met one night and got to know each other, and I kind of saw her and thought, wow. And I don't know what she thought when she saw me, and I finally kind of mustered up enough courage to say, hey, would you go out with me one night? And really the rest is history.
We're going to have to ask Jenny what she thought.
Yeah, I'm kind of thankful that she's not here to answer that. I'm not sure I would want that honesty, but... So we dated, actually got married in college in my senior year. We got married and lived in an apartment up there together, which is pretty unusual. It's pretty unusual to be dating in high school and eventually get married, which is kind of a scary thing because I have kids in high school and I can't imagine some of them getting married.
Yeah.
But, you know, God kind of worked through all that. We certainly had our ups and downs in that dating relationship, but brought us together 28 years ago, right, formally. And out of that, four kids. So I have Hunter, who just turned 24, and he now lives with his wife in Los Angeles. Don't feel sorry for him because the weather out there is amazing. It is pretty much in the 70s during the day, kind of high 50s, low 60s at night. This summer they had a kind of a heat wave, and it got up into the 80s.
But that sounds exactly like the weather here in Little Rock.
Yeah.
Steady.
Yeah, so don't feel too bad for him. Then I have a son, Hayden, who is a linebacker at Arkansas. He is 20, and he is a sophomore up there. And then I have my youngest son, Hudson, who's a senior in high school, and will be going to the University of Arkansas to play football. And then I have a daughter who we jokingly say is the best athlete in the family, Hope, and she's in ninth grade. And so that's kind of our family. We'll be launching Hudson off to college here in May, and we'll just have one kid at home. And so it'll be a different transition for us, one we're looking forward to, but – it's weird when you launch your kids out. So this will be the third one we've launched out, and we're soon to be empty nesters here in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you started talking about sports have been a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. Did you and Jenny play sports growing up, participate in that?
Jenny, very little. I think she played basketball maybe when she was in eighth grade. I think her dad wanted her to play, and she didn't really like it. She did some cheerleading and things like that. I played football really from a young age, was blessed enough in high school to get an athletic scholarship to Arkansas. So I went up there and played.
This was back when Robert Lewis played, right?
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. We did have face masks back then. I'm not so old that we didn't have face masks, but I was back in the late 80s when I played. And so, you know, I had some success there and ended up making, you know, all conference there and played on a couple of championship teams. I actually played on the offensive line. I was about 280 something back then. I'm not that now, Amy. I was a lot bigger back then. I played on the offensive line. A lot of people think I played tight end because they look at me now, but I lost a lot of weight when I got done playing football up there. So I did that and got done there and kind of moved into ministry up there when I got done playing football.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. What did God do in your heart when you were at the University of Arkansas? Because you didn't go to Arkansas looking for ministry.
No, I didn't. You know, I grew up in a great home here in Little Rock, but I grew up really far from God. I was trying to find significance, you know. Looking back on it, I didn't know at the time when I, you know, that I was looking for significance. I didn't know that I had this kind of hole in my life. I wouldn't have been able to articulate it that way, but just kind of looking back, what I realize is that I was looking for significance and being able to fit in. And the one place that I found that was really in athletics. And so I really poured myself into that and had some success in high school and those kinds of things. But there was always this sense of trying to be something that I really was not. And and so I had athletics, but also had this kind of other side to me. And I began to kind of pour myself into partying. And did started that really in high school. And really just didn't have an identity other than football. And so my identity became kind of Mark the party guy. So much so that at my 10-year reunion, I was voted most changed. At my 20-year, I was voted most changed. Okay. Unfortunately, I couldn't go to my 30-year to hopefully win it three times. But that gives you a little bit of an idea. So I went to Fayetteville. Really just kind of focused on football. And I got up there, and Fayetteville's a great place to go if you don't know who you are and you want to party. And so I threw myself really full force into that. And what was happening to me, and I didn't realize it at the time, is there was just always this sense of there's got to be more to this life than just football and partying. And I usually felt that the morning after. And alcohol really became a way for me to feel better about myself. Because when I drank, it was a different me. Because all of a sudden I felt confident and I felt like I could talk to people that I didn't normally talk to, and people would laugh. And so it just really became a part of my life. And so my freshman year, the spring of my freshman year, I had this teammate of mine. I didn't realize at the time, but I became his project. And he began to engage with me. He was intentional with me and just inviting me to a Bible study. And I didn't even have a Bible with me in college. We had them at our house growing up, but I didn't spend any time in the Bible, really. So one night I finally gave in, really just to kind of get him off my back, because I really got tired of him asking me. So that's my motivation that I really went to the meeting with. And it was there where one of the coaches began really sharing about that you could have a personal relationship with Jesus.
A coach?
Yeah.
You knew the coach already, right?
I did.
Yeah.
And he lives in Pine Bluff now. He used to be a coach at UAPB. And just recently, within the last year or two, he's kind of stepped away from that, but still lives down there. And he was sharing his story and talking about having a relationship with Jesus. And that was really something I had never heard before. And so I went back to my dorm room, and I'd picked up a little bit of literature, and I started reading through that. And that's where I say God really ambushed me with his love, because I really became overwhelmed. It's like in a moment, it's hard to describe to people unless you've been through it, but I just knew in my spirit that it was right and that that's what I needed. And so I just literally got down. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I got down on my knees and just prayed probably the worst prayer that's ever been prayed, because I didn't really know what to say. But I knew that God knew my heart, and that's the moment really where the trajectory of my life changed. Now, from there, there was no writing in the sky when I walked outside my door or anything like that, but I knew that God had done something in my heart.
Well, I think those are the prayers that God loves the most, right? Where we're just laying it out on the line and we don't know what to say, but we're just putting ourselves before Him.
Yeah. So who did you share that with first?
You know, Jenny, shared that with her. We were dating at the time, and really, I knew just enough spiritual buzzwords that when I was around her, she had a real solid faith in Jesus, and one that I always admired. And I really had almost a hidden life when I was with her in some ways, and hid some things from her. And so I was able to talk with her a little bit about that, and she was and be honest with her about the things that were going on inside of me and what needed to change. And so I talked with her, and then I had this guy who brought me to the Bible study, and he really got me started on more of the discipleship journey of, hey, now that you've made that decision, here are some things you ought to begin to do, you know, like read your Bible. Here's a few verses you might want to memorize. We have a group that meets, you know, every Wednesday night to do this. And so I kind of started getting in the stream of trying to learn more about Jesus and really who I was. And that was a slow process because I didn't know anything about the Bible. When somebody said, hey, turn to the book of Matthew.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a book of Matthew.
Yeah.
So it, I mean, when I say that I started at ground zero, it was ground zero spiritually because I just didn't know anything.
How's that influence your preaching and teaching now?
I think for me, I think it's influenced it a lot. I think there's two things. One is I really strive, and I'm not perfect in it, but I really strive to keep things simple when I communicate. To some people, it probably feels overly simplistic, but I'm always conscious of the person out there that maybe doesn't know as much as we think they know.
Okay, yeah.
And then I think secondly, there's a part of me that is always desiring to speak to the non-believer that's in our midst and who oftentimes, just like me, maybe on the outside kind of looks like they have it together, but on the inside where it really counts, they've never really come to the place where they've just said, Jesus, you're my all in all. So I think that those two things have really influenced, you know, my kind of my background has influenced my teaching at times.
I've noticed that with you too, that you really have this heart for the person that might be there for the first time. And what is the message that we're teaching that day? Is it going to be speaking to them? Are you speaking at a way that the person coming for the first time could hear about Jesus and know what we're talking about? And I think that influences the rest of us to think that way as well.
I think, you know, I didn't grow up in the church world per se. And so I don't know, you know, my wife did, Jenny, she grew up here at Fellowship, in fact. So she's got a whole different background. When you don't grow up in that, we just have to be careful sometimes of the language we use and the assumptions, I think, sometimes that we can make about people. As small as, hey, turn to the book of Song of Solomon. Okay, well, where is that?
Yeah.
And so it can be something as simple as that. To much more complex issues. But I would hope Fellowship would be a place that we can go deeply with those of us who love and follow Jesus, but at the same time have a welcoming spirit for those who are coming who are maybe far from God or exploring or asking questions, that they would feel like they could come here and we're not speaking over them. We're actually speaking to them as well.
Yeah, bringing them along with us.
So that it's kind of a both and.
Yeah.
Is that where your passion for going after the one comes from?
Yeah, I think we all were the one. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not.
That's
in
good.
Luke 15, I mean, all of us start there, whether you're 5 years old or like me, you're 19 to 20, we're all that person. But I think that story means a lot more to me because of my own journey and where God rescued me and my background and how he came at me and how he changed me. And so I do I think I have a gift of evangelism, but at the same time, I feel like I'm really intentional in my life around that. And I do think there's people in our church who have that gift, but I think all of us are called to be evangelists in different ways and to reach people and to really go after the one that God has in our lives. So that a lot of that's been birthed out of my personal background. And kind of who I am and what the journey that God's brought me on.
Yeah, and I can say just sitting under your preaching and teaching and then interacting with you through staff meetings or team meetings, like I can see that that passion is very strong in your heart, that you're always looking for that one who needs to know more about Jesus. I love what you said earlier in your own life, that you were ambushed with the love of Jesus. I think that could be put into a song, you know? Right up there with Sloppy Wet Kiss or something like that.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, I think whether we want to acknowledge it or not, I don't know that we run to God. I think oftentimes God runs to us.
That's right.
Wasn't really looking for Jesus that night.
Yeah.
But Jesus was always looking for me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes grace so amazing, mm-hmm. is that Jesus in his grace came after me to rescue me from really a destructive life that I was living that was pretty hopeless. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, I looked like I had it all together, but on the inside, there was a lot of emptiness there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I really mean by ambushed, is I just think at that moment of salvation, I don't know how it was for you all because I don't know all of your background, but for me, it was overwhelming, mm-hmm. to just think that God could love me that much, mm-hmm. and really forgive me that much.
That's right.
And that's been something I've struggled with through the years, because I think when you have a checkered past and you've made a lot of sinful choices, mm-hmm. and you've done things that you deeply regret, mm-hmm. I know that Jesus forgives me, but oftentimes I've struggled to forgive myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real journey, mm-hmm. I think, spiritually, is just believing in the forgiveness of, mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, tell us why you're here at Fellowship Bible Church. Why do you love Fellowship?
Besides getting to work with you two.
Yes. Well, I mean, yes, main reason right here.
You know, what I love about Fellowship is I think we're in a unique place in this city. First of all, I love Little Rock. This is where, mm. I was born and raised. I love Arkansas. I love the opportunity to be a part of seeing life change right where God place to me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Fellowship is just our unique mission that we have to not just go after the one, but also to grow up the one and to send out the one. And I love the passion of our staff and our church to, mm-hmm. see lives transformed, to see those lives really equipped, mm-hmm. and discipled, and then to see those lives sent out, whether that be here locally or whether that be around the world. I think that's really unique, and it's something that really gets me excited. It's something that that I love about Fellowship. And we certainly have a ways, mm-hmm. to go. We want to do it better, and we want to continue to open ourselves up to what God has for us in the future. But it's really cool to see, as we think about making disciples, to see people in our midst who are really grabbing hold of the good news of Jesus and then sharing that with others in their neighborhood, at their workplace, mm-hmm. their friends. It's just really cool to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess that kind of goes along with the last question I want to ask you. Amy, did you have anything else you wanted to ask him before?
Go ahead.
All right. In 5 years from now, where would you like to see Fellowship Bible Church on all our campuses? Where would you like to see us?
Yeah, I think in 5 years from now, I think our culture is going to need churches that are more and more about the good news of Jesus. My hunch is that more and more churches are going to cave to the culture, mm. and to what culture says is the truth. And I think it's going to be critical as we move forward that, first of all, we know the truth,
mm-hmm.
and we live the truth, and we proclaim the truth. And we do that in a loving way. We do it in a consistent way. Most importantly, we do that through our actions and our words and the way, mm-hmm. we live our lives. But what I really hope for our church is that all of our campuses really become a gospel hub, mm-hmm. where they are,
mm-hmm.
Where God has placed us. So for this campus in West Little Rock, that as people come here, they would engage Jesus. They would, mm-hmm. see Jesus in us. They would hear about Jesus. They would grow in Jesus. They would experience the love of Jesus and hopefully be transformed by Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that people would experience that in Midtown and in Benton and in Cabot and in Espanol and, you know, potentially other campuses, mm-hmm. That we have, that we start maybe if, mm-hmm. if God sees fit. So I think for, you know, 5 years from now, I think – I just want to see Jesus do more in, mm-hmm. us and through us. Mm-hmm. And I don't know all of that is because I hold those things loosely. Because,
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we can overplan those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the Spirit has a different work he wants to do. And I just want to have an open heart and open, mm-hmm. hands and really watch him lead. But if I could say anything, I would just want all of our campuses to experience more of Jesus, mm-hmm. who he is, mm-hmm. And his truth.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've really appreciated about the season that we're in is just that we're kind of taking that risk of saying, you know, we want to have these campuses, but at the same time, we want to follow the Spirit's leading in that. And so we might dream about those things and plan for them, but we're going to follow his lead. And it's been neat to see where he's led us and what that's meant for different changes on different campuses. And I think it's an exciting time to be here and be a part of ministry here.
Yeah, I'm excited about that as well. It's hard for somebody that, like myself, who likes to control things, not just at the church, but in my own personal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not saying yes because of you, but for myself too. Yeah.
So, the unique thing in following Jesus is time and time again letting go and realizing that this is not my church. It's not our church. At the end of the day, it's Jesus's church. Mm-hmm. And he'll take us where he wants us to go.
That's right.
And often it's more than we could even imagine and never would have dreamed it would look like that.
There's no doubt. And I never dreamed 10 years ago that I would be here. Mm-hmm. This wasn't what I was expecting to be and what I was even expecting to do. So, God is just being living with open hands and an open heart to what it is that Jesus really has for us.
He loves his church far more than we could ever love his church.
There's no doubt.
That's right. Mark, I appreciate you being here on the podcast with us today. Thank you for taking a few minutes to sit down with us, letting us dig into your life a little bit and learn more about the passion of who you are. I think that one of the big themes that I hear in your story is that the truth of Jesus has set you free, and you're passionate about sharing that same truth with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. It's honored to be here. Sorry that it took a little longer for me to get here, but I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah,
well, obviously, this podcast will shoot to the top, be the most popular podcast that Fellowship has, for sure.
I'm sure.
Thank you again for being here.
Thanks, Mark.
Amy, if someone wants to get a hold of us or has questions for us, they can hit us at the email at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. They can write to us and share a story of what God's doing in their life. We'd love to hear from you about what God is doing in your life through this podcast. We've shared in the past of how God has used this podcast and some of the storytelling here to impact people's lives, even around the world. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to hear from you about what God is doing in your life.
Yeah, that's right. Please do let us know. We'd love to have you on here and hear your story and hear how God's working in your life.
That's great. That's great. Well, until next time, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for his glory at home and across the world.